is Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, and a hearty congratulations to the 2016 Walk of Fame class. They were just inducted into the Walk of Fame, and you've got Max Armstrong, Floyd Brown, Jim Carollo, Dan Fabian, Marilyn Miller, Tom Peterson, and Dean Richards.
Yep. All of them great, and what a presentation today. That was fun.
Each and every one of them gave such wonderful acceptance speeches,
right,
or whatever it is they did.
Yeah.
Something really touched me, though, that Marilyn Miller said, being one of the only, being the first producer in the Walk of Fame, she really had to do something before there was computers, before there was any kind of call screener.
Yeah.
And she said, talking to the listeners, they were the listeners. You had to treat them with respect.
Sure.
And that's why this radio station is standing on solid ground so many years later, because we'd be lost without the listeners.
Yep, so true. You had a very good, a great idea. I was going to say a very good idea, but it's a great idea of what we want to do after the news.
Yeah, I mean, you know, since we're all getting all sentimental and congratulating this year's class in the Walk of Fame, why don't you call us, 312-981-7200, if you so choose, and share your favorite WGN moments, whether it be from today's ceremony, whether it be from years ago, whether it be an aha moment where you said, I'd never listened to a station that my grandfather listened to, and now you can't stop. Anything like that, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, it is 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen, radio legend.
Inducting our honorees. Who we are is who we were. It's 720 WGN and the WGN Radio Walk of Fame.
Just the history steeped in this radio station gets me weepy right now.
It's amazing, isn't it? And a lot of those people who are that history, we just saw them moments ago. Or heard them if you weren't here.
Absolutely. Or you could be watching it on the stream because it was streaming at WGNradio.com. Rich, you were just at the ceremony.
Yes, Wendy. And you just said good luck to the two twins when you walked into the station.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We had to get in here.
I was there.
And did you have a favorite moment?
Yeah, I was there to see Marilyn because I was Wally Filth's James Bond's expert.
Look
and
at that.
Marilyn and I would talk all the time, and I haven't talked to her probably within 20 years, but when I said mentioned James Bond, she knew exactly who I was.
And that's what meant so much to me listening to Marilyn talk about that is all these relationships she made with the listeners.
Yeah.
So very cool. Rich, thank you. Hope you enjoyed yourself today, and maybe call back and we'll talk James Bond. Sybil's in a hurry, so let's get to Sybil. Hi, Sybil.
Hi. I just wanted to say I used to get a real big tickle when Spike would pick a pencil or a toothpick and speak for 20 minutes on the subject, and I giggled all the way to work. It was great.
But it wasn't always a toothpick, right? It just happened to be one particular day.
No, sometimes it was mustard. And
yeah.
You know, it
right.
Depended on what his mood was for the day.
Yeah.
I always was in a good mood when I got to work because it would set my day.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that memory. We appreciate it, Sybil.
The funny thing about that is if you're charting a show before, during, or after a show and you put on the show schedule from 8:15 to 8:40, I'll talk about mustard. You go, well, that's not a good idea. Nobody wants to do that. But for some weird reason, that's the stuff that people remember years later. Oh, that time when you brought up mustard, that was great. And you go, well, how would that be? But it is.
Everybody uses mustard.
I guess so,
except
yeah.
Little kids.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, somebody else wants to share a memory. This is Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hey, hi. Yeah, the memory I had was when Max Armstrong was being mentioned is that my mom and I, we used to listen to the Farm Hour in the late 70s. I was at the local community college, and I'd come home for lunch, and we had no idea what a bologna bowl was, but we listened to the Farm Hour and didn't have a farm.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, if you guys were farmers, but no, you just listened.
We lived in Glenwood in the south suburbs.
A bologna bowl, did you say?
That's what Max and Orion would always say what the cost of the bologna bowls were. I don't know what a bologna bowl is.
But you know how much they cost. That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, we knew that. We
good.
That. But it's just, you know, and I just lost my mom about a year ago.
Oh, no.
You know, hearing that just made me think about, you know, the good times that we had together. So
right.
I really appreciate that. So
thanks for sharing that. That's an awesome
You're
one.
Welcome. Yeah,
thanks, Todd.
Bye. Bye.
I got to know what a bologna bowl is.
And why they would report on the cost of them.
But now I'm thinking it sounds really good. You know how you can do fried bologna and sometimes it gets curved?
Right.
But then what do you put in your bologna
right,
bowl?
Right, right, right. Sometimes, like when I was a kid, because my parents had WGN on as their preset in both cars. There were five buttons you could press to get different stations. But somehow all of them magically came to WGN. And then also all of the alarms in the morning, you know, when their alarm would go off, they were also set to WGN. So sometimes, many times, the first thing I would know any given day, Monday through Friday, was that the price of Peoria hogs were up 1 1/8 and December corn was down 2 1/3. That was the first fact that I knew on any given day.
Well, we are in luck right now because Orion Samuelson is up in his office, and you are going to tell us what a bologna bowl is?
I will tell you what a bologna bowl and a cutter cow or cutter and canner cow is, and I'll give you any more that you want. But generally, they were dairy cows or they were bulls. The bulls still had the desire but not the equipment because of age. And the dairy cows had lived their life producing milk and were going to market. So the meat quality wasn't steak quality or anything like that. So a bologna bull, back in the old days, they made bologna out of bull meat. And they made the canner and cutter cows, went into dog food, and also went into some cheap grades of hamburgers. So
bologna bull.
Bull, B-U-L-L.
I thought it was bull.
Because we thought it was a football game in January, Orion.
Well, it could be the way they're adding it, but no, it was a bologna bull.
Bologna bull.
And the question most often asked during my career, what is a frozen pork belly?
Oh, sure.
And every time you ate a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich or have bacon and eggs, you're eating a frozen pork belly. Yeah.
Do you know, growing up, we honestly had BLTs once a week. That was just part of the deal, you know. Fridays during Lent, we had fish sticks.
Yeah.
But every week, it seems, we had BLTs.
Right.
And in the summer, it's interesting because we no longer trade frozen pork belly futures because there's no need to. In the wintertime, the demand for bacon went down, so the pork bellies would have to be frozen, pulled out in storage, because when summer started, it was like the grilling season. Bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches just used up a lot of bacon. So
I am like Pavlov's dog right now. Just one, not all of them.
Right.
Because when you mentioned the tomato, you know, when you get a fresh homegrown tomato in the summer, which I'm planting this weekend.
Good for you.
You just made me salivate.
Okay.
Orion, even you'll have to admit, though, that a frozen pork belly makes for a lousy popsicle. Right?
Yeah, it does.
You don't want to be slurping on that.
Your teeth fall out if you try to eat
sure.
it.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you for clarifying that. I thought he was saying bologna bowl.
Me too.
I looked it up.
Oh, and
there's B-U-L-L, bologna bowl.
There's a Dutchman bologna bowling tournament. That's all
there
I could find.
Why would Orion and Max report on that?
I don't know. None
of that makes sense. None of it makes sense.
Thanks, O.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was like a Chipotle bowl or a quinoa bowl or something.
Come on. Don't skimp on the bologna in my bologna bowl. Keep it coming. Keep it coming.
All right, we have Ann wants to say something pretty sweet. We're sharing moments because really watching the inductees into the WGN Walk of Fame today was really a sentimental journey down radio history. And Ann, you have a moment you want to share from WGN?
Oh, I do, and I didn't make it down there today, but my boys went to school with Marilyn Miller's boys, so I knew her a long time. But I called up Wally Phillips when he used to take birthday calls on my birthday one year when I was 34. And my four-year-old said to me, "Mom, you can't be 34. That's Walter Payton's number."
It's already taken.
So and then Wally sent a number of gift certificates and things, and he thought that Wally Phillips was the UPS driver.
He did? That's weird.
So that was a very sweet memory.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us, Ann.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Ann.
I would put scrambled eggs in the bologna boat.
Yes, in a bologna boat.
They curl up.
Yep.
Now that sounds good.
Favorite.
I'm making a bologna boat and bowl later. Thank you, Ann. Appreciate
it. Thanks. Have a great day.
That's what radio was, though. I mean, you really had a friend on the radio, and hopefully we're somebody's friend.
I'm hoping. That'd be nice. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. There's plenty of calls and texts, 312-981-7200. Yes, we're feeling a little nostalgic, and why wouldn't we after today's ceremony? What's your favorite WGN moment from all time, not just from today, but from forever? 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. What are your favorite memories from this station, from WGN? If we have time, we'll do other stations. But for right now, we're focusing on this one, WGN. Give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200.
Patty wants to share a favorite WGN moment. Hi, Patty.
Hi. When I was a teenager, my sister and I would be up in our rooms getting ready, and we'd come down, you know, listening to rock and roll, and we'd come down, and I remember telling my mother, I will never, ever listen to WGN, ever. So boring. And, well, lucky for me, I brought a radio to work, and WGN was the only channel that the building could pick up, and I have listened forever, and Bob Collins was on at the time, and I just love it. And now I live in Florida, and I stream it. You know, I have it through my radio, computer or phone when I'm walking.
Listening
I miss you
online,
guys so much. Yes,
Patty.
I just yeah.
Awesome. I'm glad. I wish you could come in the studio and hug us. We thank you so much for listening.
Oh, I love you guys.
Patty, trust us when we tell you that I know a lot of the listeners feel that way. This was the station that you made fun of. A lot of us working here, this was the station we made fun of too. Believe me. Management will tell you they used to make fun of the station too.
I know, but look what happens when you grow up.
Oh, right.
I was so interesting, and I was looking so forward to it every day, and I do. I mean, I just love it.
Good.
Patty has a different way in which she started listening, though. She was a captive audience member because that was the only station she could pick up in her building.
Yes, I know. I was sort of forced. I'm like, kind of good.
All right, well, we're glad you're listening.
Thank you.
Thanks, Patty. Bye. Take care. Have a good weekend.
From Florida, Bill.
Yeah, I've heard of that. It's down south. It's A7 on your maps.
Everyone check now.
Look at your maps.
Hi, Tony.
Hi. I love your program.
Oh, thank you.
I have to tell you about Roy Leonard. He had been retired for forever, like maybe 20 years. But once in a blue moon, he would do a guest appearance or a guest spot in the afternoon. So I'm in the house and my phone rings and my son, who's married and has a bunch of children, four kids, he calls me up and he says, Mom, turn your radio on, turn your radio on. Guess who's on the radio? Roy Leonard. And I said, how do you know about Roy Leonard? He says, Mom, whenever we got into the car, the first thing you did was turn on WGN, and we always heard Roy Leonard on. So he became a very active member of your WGN family.
Sure.
And I have also tell you that Roy Leonard was so wonderful. Everyone was, Bob Collins, every single person. But he had the six boys, and he would talk about movies. And if he said it was a family movie, good for the kids, that's the movie that my kids got to see. So he was a wonderful man, as are you guys, and as are all the WGN family that I just really, really love, including Wally Phillips, and I could just go on and on.
Sure.
You have other callers.
You're very nice, Tony. Oh. And we agree with you. Roy Leonard, not just great to listen to on the air, but we had the good fortune of meeting him several times.
Sweet
and
man.
Always a very nice man. Always.
Oh, he was wonderful, and so was Bob Collins and Roy and Wally Phillips.
Sure.
And you two. My radio is on 24 hours a day. I love WGN. And my kids do, and my sons do, and my son-in-law.
Hey, it's a family affair. It's WGN radio.
Yes, you keep on doing what you're doing. I love it.
Thanks, Tony. Have a great weekend. Karen wants to share a memory of a particular host here at WGN.
Well, it's a Wally Phillips memory moment. And, you know, as I'm listening to the other callers, more and more is coming back in my mind. Wally Phillips was the man of the prizes. Mm-hmm. Right now, I want you to think about, you're talking about bologna, which you thought was bowl, and it's really bowl, and so on. But I won one of those Rose Bowls. he had this thing, and I can't tell you how many times I moved it from house to house when we'd move, because I just couldn't, you know, deal with throwing it away. But it was one of the prizes. It was, it looked like a bowling ball on a pedestal, and it had, you know, preserved roses inside. So that was the deluxe prize, and of course, then he had the best of best were the Bozo tickets that I won that day.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God. I had two kids. I think I pulled the one kid out of school. You know, so we could go to Bozo.
You didn't have to wait the 7 to 14 years? You just you just showed up? They had those tickets?
That's it.
Wow. That was
it. I mean, we had signed up when the, you know, when I was pregnant, but yeah. Lo and behold, the opportunity came. And so that was good. And then he had always dinners and, you know, some, like I said, the bizarro one, as I'm thinking, when you're describing, was the Rose Bowl, the infamous Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And yes, they became part of, you know, our lives. And, you know, thank you very much for what you do. Okay. Wow.
That's well, so sweet. Kind. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Have a great weekend. Wow. That just kind of wrapped up.
Yeah.
I was expecting for a little bit more, but that, I know what she meant, the Rose Bowl thing. It was like a preserved in glass, like a paperweight kind of thing. You
oh,
know
yeah,
what I
that's
mean?
Right. Yeah. I remember this.
All right, getting a little more current, which it doesn't matter. Old, new, we're all together here on WGN. Christopher, what do you have to share?
Hi, Bella Wendy. My favorite moment was about 2 years ago when my father found out we were having a baby because of WGN.
How did that happen?
It was back when John Williams was on, and he was doing the Bright Side of Life.
Every Friday.
And yeah, and I called in and, you know, I yelled, "My wife is pregnant," and thinking back, I probably should have used a fake name. But, you know, he said my name and where I was from, and literally 30 seconds later, my dad texted me, and he's like, "Are you guys having a baby?" I'm like, "Oh, you're listening to WGN, aren't you?"
But, yeah, that's awesome. You know,
always tell your radio station first and then your family. That's how it always goes.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, thank you, Bill and Wendy, for president.
Thanks, Christopher. Take care.
Thank you, Christopher. And I think we have time for one more. Hi, Frank. Hey, Frank.
Frank.
Oh, Frank is not there, so let's try Scott.
Frank's memory cannot be said in words. It's so internal that he was thinking it, but it cannot be said.
You know, Frank, thanks a lot, because it was perfect timing, and it was about us, Bill. We were going to toot our own horn. But, Scott, you go. It's up to you.
Hi, Bill and Wendy. How are you?
Great.
My memory was I actually won a contest with back in 98 with Kaplan and Waddell. It was like a kind of a weird situation. I had to do a demo, a 30-second demo. And I got to throw out the first pitch. I think it was at the Hilton. But ironically enough, I got into radio after that because I met Bob Collins. And so I was on a small station in Chicago for a number of years after that. So it was kind of Bob was just a really nice gentleman. And he said, I told him, you know, I love radio. And I won that contest. And then never got to WGN, but I did mornings on a small suburban station.
What station? Go ahead. You can say it.
Well, it's no longer there. It's WJJG in 1530. I did mornings there for about 14 years, and that got me into acting. So, but it was just a really nice event. My daughters were really small at the time, and it was that right after Harry passed in January of '98, and the contest was, you know, you had to do 30 seconds, just something really quick, why you like the Cubs and GN, and Kaplan happened to pick me, and then Bob said, you know, I like your voice. And so, I mean, it was just a really nice, you know, it was just a nice after, you know, the tribute. And I've been listening to GN. I mean, I'm out of radio now, but.
But it gets sentimental, doesn't it, when you start thinking of all the great moments that WGN
yeah,
has provided.
I got that on video on the old, I don't even know what my wife took it. It was like on the old,
VHS, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just a really cool. Bob, my parents had a small restaurant in Elmer's, and Bob used to come to my parents' restaurant.
What a great guy.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott, we saw Dave Kaplan was out there before the ceremony started, and, you know, if he was listening, he would think that this was, what does he always
ridiculous.
Say?
The whole thing's ridiculous. That's what he would say.
Scott, thank you so much. It's great memories.
Steve Bertrand has come into the studio. Steve, we were talking
about. Was that Kaplan in the charcoal gray suit?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. we're talking about...
it was blue.
It was blueberry blue.
I know. It was not charcoal gray. It was... He wants to stand out. I don't know whose outfit was louder, his or Pete McMurray's tangerine shirt. Dream.
Quitters.
We're talking about moments that stand out from the history of the station. You're in mine, by the way.
Really? Yeah. Why?
It was Kathy and Judy's last show, and I was driving to work at another station, and I felt awful that they were being let go, and I was very upset that, the show was disbanding because of management, and they did a very, very emotional last show. And at the end of that last show, Kathy was crying and Judy was crying, but it was when you started to cry that I'm in the car driving to work, and then I'm like, I'm tearing up.
It was a rough day. There actually were, we had dozens of people outside this very window who had heard them start the show and came down to watch them do the
How
end
about
of it.
That? Yeah.
And now we can't shake them. They were just outside.
They have not left yet since. No.
All right. Well, the, I mean, really, it was so, you did a great job out there, the two Steves.
So nice to see so many people. It just was great. It was a great event. I loved it.
But it makes me kind of weepy and smiley in the same breath because just all the history in this radio station is amazing.
Yeah, it's funny because it's a great history, and God bless Jimmy DeCastro, who hasn't been here for that long, and recognize it and bring everybody back.
And wants to take no credit. People keep coming up to him saying thank you, myself included. This is so nice that you're doing this. It's not me. It's the team. It's not me.
And it's, you know, it's the on-air stuff, but there are dozens of people out there who I worked with who were not on the air 20, 25 years ago. It's just a great reunion for the people who work here, too. So it's a great day.
And a special happy birthday to Larry Wirt.
Yeah, our boss, one of our bosses. All right, a quick break, and then Steve will tell you what he's got coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, Kim, thanks very, very much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. It's Friday. We here at the station have had quite a day. The big Walk of Fame, the WGN Walk of Fame induction ceremony was earlier today, and we were out on Pioneer Court as we honored more members of the WGN family onto the Walk of Fame. And I meant to tell you this earlier, and I totally forgot. There were so many nice people outside, very, very nice people, and I was talking to as many of them as I possibly could. And then there was one man who had a Bozo Circus pennant from the 1960s.
Wow.
And I had no idea who he was or what he represented. I just knew that next to him was this vintage Bozo pennant, and I coveted it, which is a sin.
Did you knock him down and steal it?
Did not, but I said to him, I walked over and I said, hi, my name is Bill, and I don't know you, but I do know that I would give anything for that Bozo Circus pennant. And he smiled and he said, well, I used to work on the show. And I said, what did you do for Bozo Circus? And then he said, well, you probably don't remember this, but there were scenes where there was not only Bozo and Cookie and Mr. Ned, but he goes, sometimes they would have a gorilla. And I go, you were
Golly the Gorilla. I didn't remember the
name. Golly the Gorilla. And he said, yeah, I was Golly the Gorilla. And that, for some reason, that to me, that's show business royalty.
That's so then more I would important leave than him Bozo for you, maybe.
Because it's a more obscure background character, yes. So I'm asking, I mean, there was a lot going on there. And, you know, the purpose was to honor these people who have given their lives for WGN Radio. But instead, I'm like, remember the one time that it was during a fair and square contest and Cookie had the big lollipop and... I was such a fanboy all of a sudden.
Well, I talked to somebody who was dying to see you, and she has just walked in the studio.
Who's that? Carol.
Carol Hankner.
How are you, Carol? Great to see you.
Carol ran this office for how many years did you work here?
51 years. The tightest ship in the world when Carol was running this place. Not like now, Carol. You saw it. It's gone to hell. The whole thing. It's just gone. Heck, I mean, there's kids in the studio. It's gone to heck, kids.
Well, Carol Hankner was looking for you, and you did not cross paths, so she came down to see you.
I saw you during the ceremony and meant to say hello, and by the time the ceremony was over, you were already gone. But nice to see you again. Wasn't today great?
Wonderful.
Today was so much fun.
It was really fun, and the rain held out when I was leaving LaGrange this morning. It was raining, and I thought, this isn't good.
Right.
But no raindrops at all fell.
It's not going to rain on Dean Richards. There's no way it's ever going to rain on Dean Richards.
You're right.
I can't see that ever happening, ever. But thanks to everybody who came out, and I know a lot of people couldn't make it today, and they were listening either on the radio or on the stream, and all the response was very, very good. So thanks, everybody, for doing that
and
today.
And congratulations again to the 2016 Walk of Fame class, Max Armstrong, Floyd Brown, Jim Carollo, Dan Fabian, Marilyn Miller, Tom Peterson, and Dean Richards.
All very deserving.
come by Pioneer Court if you didn't make it today and go look at their plaques on the Walk of Fame. And brush off Steve Bertrand's while you're at it.
Cause dusty.
He's
gotten all dusty.
Is slacking a little
bit. I know.
He used to get out there and polish it up all the time.
Everybody else has a woman who comes by on a Monday and they clean up.
Plaque woman?
Yeah, a plaque woman who comes by and polishes the brass. I don't know what that means, but they look great. And, yeah, get with it, Steve. Come on.
Maybe if we polished the brass, we could get a star
Maybe
on the
star
Walk
eventually.
Of Fame.
Right,
we got to
right,
work
right.
on that.
All right, a quick break and then a lot more show ahead. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Later on in the show, Tom Appel will join us. Tom is on with us pretty frequently talking about cars. Last night, your life changed dramatically.
It's your first world problems.
180 degrees. Can you talk about this? Are you comfortable talking about this?
I got a new car, and I have to tell you, I almost got in about 20 accidents yesterday, because as I was driving in, I'm trying to check out all the looks. I buy for looks,
right.
And then I buy for features.
Right, sure.
You got to like it.
Sure.
Was going to buy a minivan, and I'm sorry I couldn't pull the trigger. I am not a soccer mom.
I'm with you all the way. When we had a minivan, every day as I walked out of my house and I looked in the driveway and I saw a minivan, I thought, we have given up. We have just absolutely given up.
What year was that, though?
Almost 20 years ago. I think Reese and Kylie were three.
See, that's when it's understandable.
Yeah, 15 years ago.
I have teenage boys, and I felt stupid getting a minivan.
Yeah.
For teenage boys.
Yeah.
And a dog. Okay, maybe we needed the room. But they've changed a lot in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that...
Enough, though, do you think?
If I just had a better imagination, I could imagine I was in something better. Because
right.
on the inside,
right.
I loved it. But I couldn't pull the trigger.
No.
I could not pull the trigger.
I told you that. Didn't I tell you that yesterday? I'm like, don't buy a minivan. I know that they're made well, and I know they've made advances. But it's still, no, I don't think anyone dreams of one day owning a minivan. It's not like a sports car or an SUV. It's like some kind of a weird compromise that you've made once you buy a minivan.
I don't know, because you are so passive aggressive, because when I told you about getting a minivan, you're like, oh, that's great. And
yeah.
then
but
when
you
I
could
said,
tell when I said it that way. It's
no,
like,
you were kind of like, oh, whatever you want. And then when I said, yeah, I think we're going to get it because it's cheaper than the car I want. And you're like, yeah, but it's still a minivan.
Right.
And then
right.
we bought a car. We'll talk about it with Tom Appel. And I looked around and I looked everywhere. And the option of lease to buy, I didn't know what to do. Never leased a car before in my life. Sat down. That looked like it worked best for us.
Yeah.
And you said, you leased it?
Right.
You have nothing to show for it.
I'm being as supportive as I can be, aren't I? I can tell how supportive I am.
Here is what we're going to talk to Tom Appel about a little bit later on today. Because I know when you buy a car, there is a grace period where you have run out of car payments, and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
No car payments.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like you have something to trade in.
Mm-hmm.
But when you keep a car for 12 years or longer like we did, when we drove the Jeep up to trade it in, it was smoking. I can't even believe they gave us any kind of trade-in value.
Right.
And if you're listening to this now, Continental Toyota, oops.
Wendy
it
took
was
you for
smoking.
A ride, Continental Toyota. This has been our plan from day one, to take Continental Toyota for a ride.
They're supposed to take me for a ride.
Fix that.
But seriously, you know, you want something to, you want trade-in value,
of course.
You want something you own, but when you keep a car that long, it's not worth anything.
No,
so,
I get that.
I don't know, to go into a car that we probably shouldn't have gotten price-wise, lease payments made it affordable.
Right.
And now you only pay for what you drive or whatever the new ad campaign is.
I know. The thing I always had with a leased car is then when you're done with your term, it's usually a 3 year, sometimes it's a little more or a little less. You don't get anything back out of it. Like if you've bought a car or you're making payments on your own car, when it's done,
it's 6 years though.
Yeah, I know.
So you're making payments for 6 years. So really, what's the difference?
Well, the price isn't that dramatic though. Is it $150 or $200 difference between your monthly payment if you're leasing or buying?
It was almost $250.
$250. Yeah, I guess
maybe even three.
Fairly significant, but. I feel bad. We've never leased one for that reason, because then when your terms are done,
we had neither. That's
you hand
what we
it over,
said.
And then you don't get anything back.
Yeah, but we're in a vehicle that we probably shouldn't be in, because maybe you couldn't afford it to buy it. And again, it gets to the point where if it's not making you happy or getting you to, we didn't trust our cars for the last four years. Yeah, we didn't have car payments, but didn't want to go see my brother in Peoria because I didn't know if either car would make it.
Right.
So when you lease. you trade it in, and then you feel safe. And, and so I don't know. That's what I did.
Yeah,
you made me feel bad.
Plus, I didn't mean to make you feel bad, but there's also the element of if you're leasing. Well, I guess every 3 years is a fairly decent term, but there's something cool about getting a new car with some regularity, you know?
I've never been that person, but again, after that car, that Jeep smoking, driving it in, arranging a trade-in value before it got in, it's a little worrisome to me. I said, Jim, park it down a mile away, let the smoke stop, and then drive it in very quickly.
Pull it in. Get it washed.
Yeah, right.
In. There was a time my dad worked for a company where for a little while, part of his deal with this company was they gave him every year we got a new company car. We would go, he would get to pick it out, and then we would all go and pick it up. And that was every year for like a span of time, like 5 or 6 years. And sometimes it was a car that my brother and I really liked. It was very emotional. This sounds strange because it's just a car, but I remember a couple times sitting in the car trying to talk my dad out of it. So I'm 11, I'm 9, 10, 11, trying to talk him out of it. Dad, you're not going to do better than a Ford LTD. What are you doing? this car's part of the family. Would you trade Adam or I in? And his answer was always, well, depending on what was the new model, we might consider trading you guys in, sure.
I do have to tell you this. Jimmy Mack has loved this Jeep, and we bought it when we were in Mexico. Our first Jeep, the transmission blew, and it was a considerable amount of money to fix it.
Right.
And somebody suggested, well, why don't you just get a new one? And I said, oh, I guess maybe we should. And so when we were in Mexico, we went through the inventory online and bought it. And I've never liked this Jeep. I didn't like the color.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it. So
why
did
you okay it if you
didn't
like
it? There were two left on the lot. We needed a car because our car wasn't working.
Yeah.
And I liked our Jeep Grand Cherokee before. This one just wasn't the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny last night because I see Jimmy Mack taking a selfie in front of the Jeep. I'm like, what are you doing? There's rust everywhere. He goes, it's going to be alone in the garage here tonight. And it's not going to be in our driveway anymore. I said, who cares?
I don't know if women feel the same. There's like some weird bond that we have with
our
cars.
We feel that way about our kids, our dogs.
Oh, I feel that way about my kids, but there's some, I don't know what it is. But I've had a couple of cars in my life where even though I know it's time to get a new one, it's very hard to just go, oh. I was with that car every day for 4 years, and now it's like we'll never see each other again.
God.
I always want whoever's buying it, I always go, can we keep in touch? Is there some way? Can I just come by once a month and just see the car? Is that all right?
I say give me shiny new.
Is that better?
Yep.
So the new one you're thrilled with. Everyone in the family is on board. Everybody loves this one.
It's a Toyota Highlander, and it's awesome.
Those are really nice.
And Ro parked in my spot today, and I wanted to crash into his car with my new car. But his Suburban is bigger than the building.
Yeah, I know. That is a big car. When he gets in that car, he's halfway home. That's how big that car is. I can't believe they still make cars. Like, remember when we were in high school, everybody had... The car I learned to drive was the size of a boat. Like, every other car I've ever driven has been so easy because the car I learned to drive in parallel park, it was like a pontoon boat.
But look how that taught you. Now you have these, like, little Priuses and small little things.
I know.
And then if a kid rents a van or something, there's no way they could parallel park that thing because they're used to this little tiny compact car.
What's the car that looks like it barely holds one person? Is that a smart car? There's some car that looks like, I don't even think one guy can get in that car. What kind of car is that? Imagine learning to drive or park that car because then you can never move up from that. Like, your whole life
You can. I hope you're able to.
It's such a challenge.
I've driven one of those, and parking it is a dream.
You could park
that
anywhere.
What, you just fold it up and put it in your pocket?
You can park it in the middle of the street, and people still get around. It's not a problem.
Fold it up. Kevin brought it in one time. It was in his wallet. I'm like, what's in your wallet? There's a bulge. He goes, it's the car. It's the smart car. You rented that, Kevin?
Yeah, I rented one at one point. It was actually great. It was pretty comfortable.
It's
but
too
you couldn't
small.
Have a passenger in there with you, could you?
No, well, there's no back seat. Oh, so, like, Sarah was comfortable, I was comfortable, but, I mean, yeah, it was...
I didn't think two people even fit in that.
Ample legroom, surprisingly.
Could you fit a chihuahua in there in addition to you guys?
Well, you could squeeze one in the glove compartment, maybe, I don't know.
We actually got to ride on the golf cart last night, going to the various all the different vehicles.
Yeah.
We asked how much that was, because that was the one we could afford, and we could
have
bought that.
Ride is nice on this. I like this ride.
What are you doing with this? All right, we're going to take a break in just a little bit. All kinds of stuff coming up. Kurt Wagner will be here from TVshowpatrol.com. We'll talk flowers again with Stacey Hervella, and then Tom Appel will explain to Wendy why she's either done the best thing of her life with this car or the worst. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, thank you so much. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder, along with Kurt Wagner. Kurt's got a great website, TVshowpatrol.com. If you're curious about television, if you're a fan of television, go to TVshowpatrol.com. Hello, Kurt.
Hello.
Nice to see you. Kurt, this is now time we go into the summer preview mode. All
Big
the shows.
Brother. Is it coming? Big
Wendy
Brother?
Wendy needs to know about Big Brother.
I've watched every season, I'm sorry to say. I love Julie Chen.
I can tell you when it starts in a minute here.
All right.
But I really don't care.
Oh.
Okay, that's what I love about Kurt Wagner. It's like
he
if he's
oversells
not into it.
Sometimes
you
he
know.
Oversells it just a little bit. Yeah.
No, I can't.
It is the dumbest show ever.
Yeah. June 20th, sorry.
Oh, seriously?
I think so, yeah.
It's coming. All right, Big Brother.
And Big Brother is the show where they put cameras all over a house, and then no matter what you do, you're on camera. That's what goes on in Big Brother.
Yeah, and it's really fun to watch people like lose it because they're away from their family for, what is it, like 90 days or something?
Yeah, they're holed up in...
And they can't have any outside things, and then sometimes they win a challenge and whatever sponsoring, like you'll go see Blake Shelton, you know, or you'll go see the new Adam Sandler movie or something, whatever they're promoting.
Yeah. It's June 22nd, sorry.
All right.
And do they purposely, Kurt, because I've not seen Big Brother, I know it's been on forever, but I've not seen it, do they purposely put people together in the house that do not get along?
Well, I think, you know.
Well, they don't know that at first.
Yeah, they don't know, but I'm sure they cast types that they feel will clash, because that's what will make the... drama.
Ariana Grande's brother Frankie was on there. Yes, but he didn't tell anybody who he was, and he kept it a secret. So then there was one point where he's like, boy, you know, he went to the, I can't remember what it's called, the interview room, the diary room. That's what it is.
Okay.
And Julie Chen said, you know, you have this big secret. Ariana Grande is your sister. Are you going to tell him? And he's like, no, because I think they're going to think I don't need the money.
Oh.
But maybe they love her and they'd like me more. And it did come out at one point. But it's just this drama.
Yeah.
It's a human experiment.
Well, there's always somebody who hooks up. Or a couple who hook up. And then a
bromance.
Who...
Do they show that?
Yeah.
And then they show that? Well, and then they had that after show that they do on, I think it's on Showtime, where they showed the more salacious stuff.
Oh, really?
On CBS.
Yeah, there's always a couple that get together that, you know...
It's funny. There's a lot of under the sheets stuff, right?
But they know they're on camera. They know that if they're messing around, they're on camera.
Bill, sometimes there's someone sharing their room and they're still active.
Really?
I mean, I feel like those shows after the first season, the people who are supposed to be real probably have played more to the camera than ever. You know, and it's just like Real World. You know, I think the first season was probably the most authentic.
I love it.
Because
I don't know why.
Everybody after that. Is trying out for the specific reason of becoming somewhat famous.
They want to be a star after this.
Or infamous, yeah.
But I remember on MTV, I remember for sure, they were casting people that were so diametrically opposed, and all they wanted them to do was fight and yell at each other and get in each other's way. Is that as blatant?
Well, it happens. It develops. Yeah. I mean, they usually have like... You know, like a beauty queen. Then they have like a tough chick girl. I think they had a lesbian for the first time. Sometimes they have a gay guy. Sometimes they have they had a transgender last year, which was pretty.
You know, there's a dumb jock and a nerdy person
and you're kind of surprised.
And they have to do little house contests and stuff as part of their.
But it's funny to see the little nerdy guy and the jock getting along. It's like it is a human experiment in socialization, and it's fun to watch. I don't know why it's.
And
voyeuristic.
How do they get eliminated? Do they vote each other off, or do viewers vote them off?
I think viewers do. I don't know. I haven't watched it in so long.
Oh, no. They vote. They decide. And it's fun to watch these like little teams develop, too, because they have an alliance together, and then they come up with a clever name for their alliance, and they decide in which order they're going to eliminate people.
Yeah.
But then someone always is working both sides, because that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like be nice to everybody and try and make
Although it's also funny when they're whispering to each other about somebody else. It's all on camera. So
you can hear it. It's pretty cool.
You know, by the end of the season... you know, everybody knows what everybody else said about
Sure, of course. And, well, but they probably feed them too, right? Like they, Julie Chen or whoever else is involved says, you know, who doesn't like you is that Mike guy does not like you. They want to rile him up, right?
It's fun to see what outfits Julie Chen wears too. And I'm telling you, she always, she walks out in really high heels and she's very attractive.
Yeah. And the wife of the guy who runs
Les
the network.
Moonves,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And she comes out and she always has her note cards, her colored note cards. And she never really looks at him, but it's a prop. She just, like,
really?
She'll just hold him and stand in a very model-like position where, you know, your hips aren't squared off. There's, like, 1 foot's in front of, like, at an angle, right. So your hips look smaller. She's so tiny, like, it matters. But she always has the note cards, and it kills me because she's never looked at him. And then when, like, there is a feed issue, she's not that great at ad-libbing.
Oh, no.
Maybe she should look at the note cards or write something on them.
She needs the thing in her ear.
I love Big Brother.
Talking to her.
Yeah. All right. So Wendy's in good shape with that. Big Brother's coming back.
It's coming back. Right. But let's segue from that. When you said the thing about that they're often fed the lines, there's the show on Lifetime that last year became this huge summer sensation called Unreal. And it is a scripted series that dramatizes the behind the scenes shenanigans at like a bachelor type show.
Yeah.
And,
so it's a parody of The Bachelor.
Yeah, okay. And it was scathing. And it's written by somebody who used to be a producer on one of those shows.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so it has... So there's a lot of the stuff that happened in the first season, which included The Bachelor or the Bachelorettes or however... Yeah, that's how it was. It was The Bachelor show. Being fed lines or being told to do things or being steered by producers to do something...
I'm sure, because they want to get a better
friction. And so it sort of exposed how unreal that's
a reality.
Of course.
It is. And it was a great show. It was amazing.
Unreal.
It was an amazing first season. And that returns for its second season June 6th.
On Showtime.
No, this one's on Lifetime.
Oh, on Lifetime.
Which is
made for women.
Which is unusual because it's sort of really edgy.
Yeah.
You know?
Just like Iris Spring.
But, this season they're doing something that The Bachelor has never done, which is The Bachelor on their show is going to be an African American.
They've never had that ever?
Why? I'm shocked they haven't.
Yeah, they haven't. So, so they're doing something that the real Bachelor has never done.
Do either of you watch it? Because I have never watched an episode of The Bachelor or Bachelorette.
I did years ago. I watched a couple.
It's
because,
so fake.
But don't people who watch it, aren't they getting cheated? Because the success rate, I know what the purpose is. It's to match these people off and then they get married and they live forever together and they're happy. But the success rate of that is incredibly low. Like those couples always break up immediately after the taping.
Most of the time they do. I think there's a couple who have actually stayed together for quite a while.
So why would people keep watching it knowing that it doesn't end well?
It's just, you know.
We like to watch other people do stuff. Yeah. We are voyeuristic.
You know, and
I think
people are waiting for somebody to break down and have a good cry and
a conniption
and do all that kind of stuff. That
was the last time
my
you
mom
used
to,
that word.
Anytime my mom would see that, she goes, you know, that man's going to have a conniption. So I'm honoring her
memory. Thank you for the flashback to the 70s.
Conniption. That's going to be my reality show called The Conniption, where I find people and I tell them things that will give them a conniption.
My mom used to say that too. Conniption fit?
Yeah.
Conniption. I said it.
You said conniption too?
Yeah. Probably because my mom did, I guess.
Yeah.
God, the 70s were great.
Yep. All right. A quick break and then Kurt Wagner, the Conniption King, as we call him. He's got TVShowPatrol.com. He's here. 312-981-7200. If you have a question or a comment, it's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Kurt Wagner is with us. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, and Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com, and we're talking television.
Kurt has given us a summer preview. So far, we know that Big Brother, no surprise, is coming back and coming back soon. Give us a few more, Kurt.
Well, Wendy will like this one, the show called Roadies. It's new. It's going to be on Showtime starting June 26th. Created by Cameron Crowe, the guy who did
Almost Famous.
And one of my favorite
some other
movies.
Music related thing.
Used to be married to Nancy and Nancy Wilson.
And Nancy Wilson. He married
just
all of heart.
You gotta have heart.
Boy, did he. And he led the league in that.
They're no longer married, though?
No.
Nope. Bill told me they got a divorce. I don't know why Cameron emailed you and told
you
that.
They did.
That's sad. Anyway, this show is called Roadies, and it's about roadies. The people who put on the concerts, who get everything set up so that you can enjoy your concert. And then they take it all down and they go from place to place.
Are there going
to
be bad stories, though? Because that's what I want to hear. Like, I can't believe so-and-so asked me to do this. That's what I'm hoping the angle
Well, there's
is.
Stuff like that. And, you know, it's a comedy. But
it's a comedy,
but there's a lot of stuff. And then there's stuff about, you know, the concerts or the tour has to end because not enough money or stuff like that. You know, there's all kinds of little dramas going on within the cast. And it's just a bunch of, it's kind of a funny workplace.
And where is that?
Showtime.
Showtime. It's going
to
be on Showtime.
I have to get Showtime. Can I lease that or buy it?
You can lease that. You're fine.
Yeah. June 26th. All right. So that's really good.
That sounds good.
I mean, a lot of people didn't like it, but I did. I watched the first three episodes, and I thought it was... I liked it.
Any names we recognize in the cast?
Carla Gugino.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
And Luke Wilson.
Oh.
Not related to Nancy Wilson, I don't think.
No, Owen's brother.
Owen's brother, yeah.
He's got the better nose of the two.
Yeah, those are the two who sort of becomes sort of the surrogate parents of this motley crew of roomies. Yeah.
I will enjoy that. At least I'll check it out.
I don't think Luke Wilson has fronted a TV show in the past, has he? Normally movies.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Good, I like that. All right, that sounds good.
What will Bill like?
What will Bill like? He might like the Age of Ultron. No, what is it called? No, I can't even remember. Voltron.
Voltron's coming to TV?
Yeah, they're the 1980s anime cartoon is coming back on Netflix.
I don't see you as an anime guy.
I'm okay with it. I don't know.
Well, you were all excited about Eyes Too Big. Other cartoony things.
Yeah. Johnny Quest comes back, call me.
Voltron Legendary Defender. It's June 10th on Netflix. And I have not seen it, but, you know, it looks cool anime.
Looks all right.
Type
all right.
of thing. Another one that I really liked was on TNT called Animal Kingdom.
What is that?
And it's based on the Australian movie of the same name from a couple years ago. One of the actress in that, I think, won an Oscar for it. It stars Ellen Barkin.
Oh, I like haven't her. Seen Back her in a long time.
She's great. She plays this tough matriarch of this crime family.
Yeah.
And she has all boys.
Yeah.
And they spend a whole lot of time without their shirts on.
All right.
And one of them without their pants on.
Oh.
And then...
Did they just lose their pants and shirts? Or why don't they have their pants and shirts
on? Because
they
just like to go around without...
Without their pants
and
shirts.
Men.
All right.
They're manly criminal men.
Is that what the show is about?
No. But it just so happens that it's very noticeable.
Sure.
They have not worn their shirts yet this episode. But
Axel on the middle
never wears a shirt, right? You save on
and Jeff Garland never wears his pants.
It does save on costume.
On the Goldberg,
you save on the costume budget,
but then you have to buy sunscreen.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But her grandson, she brings her grandson into the fold, who's this kind of shy guy whose mom was a heroin addict and his mom is her daughter, and the brothers are sort of suspicious that he's gonna cause them trouble with the cops, like he's not going to fit in.
Oh yeah.
So it sort of follows that storyline, and then their little escapades of stealing stuff and not trying to get caught, though. But without shirts.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that I really like that. That's coming.
And it's called what again?
Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom. All right.
And it comes June 7th.
That sounds good. What about the remake of Roots?
That's this weekend.
And isn't it LeVar Burton, who was Kunta Kinte in the original Alex Haley version of Roots? He's kind of behind this, right?
Well, he's the one of the put it together? Executive producers. Yeah. And it's actually the same team that did the original Roots.
David Walper?
A lot of those same folks.
Who in the world besides you just
David
knows
L.
That?
Walper. He's the same guy who did...
Home of the Walper?
No, that's... No. He did Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
He did?
That's the same guy, yeah. David L. Walper.
Oh, the original.
That's a crazy name. Yeah. Walper. That's cool.
Yeah. So that comes back May 30th, which is Memorial Day, right? Through June 2nd, eight hours, I think. I've seen the first couple of hours.
Is the production value as good or better than the original ABC version?
Yeah, you know, I really like the first segment. The second segment I didn't like as much, but I really, you know, I haven't watched the whole thing, but I think overall it's probably going to be pretty good. Yeah. And it's introducing, like LeVar Burton was new. It's introducing some new actors onto the scene.
The first one, Kurt, I hope you remember, had an incredible all-star cast it went on and on and on. Yeah. The people that were in Roots.
And it won
phenomenal.
Like 8 bajillion awards.
Yeah, it did.
Ben Vereen, Cicely Tyson.
Lawrence Hilton Jacobs. Leslie Uggams.
You're right.
Brad Davis.
Yeah. Lawrence Fishburne's in this one.
Ed Asner, my old soulmate.
Anna Kenone Rose, who's a famous Broadway actress and has been in some other things, is in it. I'm trying to think of other famous names. There's a lot of newcomers in it. A lot of people I hadn't heard of.
Yeah. With the potential of being, like you said, LeVar
Forrest Whitaker's in it.
I love Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah. I do too.
He plays the fiddler.
Yeah. Fiddler George? Was that his character?
I think they just call him Fiddler in this one.
Chicken George. Right, yeah. That was Ben Vereen.
Yeah.
You're getting Fiddler on the Roof and Roots mixed up.
I always mix those two, Kurt. Because they could have combined them and had a really great show if they had set their minds to it.
Sure. Okay.
Fiddler on the Roots.
Fiddler on the Roots.
You don't think that would have been a great show? Come on.
Maybe.
Right. I'm an idea man, Kurt.
What did you just watch that you said was pretty good? There's another.
I'm watching a show. It's called Documentary Now, and it's a miniseries on Hulu, and it's Fred Armisen and Bill Hader, both formerly of Saturday Night Live. So every week it's a parody of a documentary, and I've gone through the first season. I whipped all through the first season.
Because it's on Netflix now, right?
It's on Netflix. Yeah. The second season starts, I think, in August, but boy, are those funny.
Yeah, and it's funny because they got Helen Mirren to be the hostess, and she does it totally seriously, like it's an actual real thing. And they do all the sort of opening parts of the documentaries are very sort of the time.
Right.
And so it's brilliant. It's really fun.
I enjoy that so much. And the first, I think there's only six in a season. You can get through it pretty quickly. They're all 22 minutes long. But every one of them, especially, there's one about an Eskimo that's just one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I've seen that one.
And what's this called again?
Documentary Now.
I got to see that.
And that I think they said August sometime, but I don't have a specific day for that. I don't think yet.
Love it.
All right, we have one call, and we have to be quick with it because we're almost out of time with Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com. Hey, Brian.
Hi, how you doing? I just got one quick question. Is Longmire on Netflix going to come back, or is it over?
What is Longmire? Why don't you, while Kurt's checking that out, what's it about, Brian?
Brian does not want to talk about it, Wendy.
No, you know what? It's raining.
And well, we've talked
messes,
about...
I'm serious. It messes up the cell phone signals sometimes.
We talked about Longmire before.
I thought so.
It's like a modern-day sort of Western. There's a sheriff in Colorado.
Right.
Yeah. Lou Diamond Phillips is in it. And some,
I like him.
And
I really do.
Australian actor plays Longmire. And I think... I'm not sure. There might be one more season coming back, but I do think what just finished is done.
That could be it. Yeah.
But don't quote me.
All right. Without going into specifics, because people always get mad if you give too much away, and I don't want to give too much away, The Blacklist fooled everybody, right? So is this the kind of thing that we can expect on other dramas? I can't give too much away, but what we thought was real wasn't real on The Blacklist, and I liked that. I thought that was really good. That doesn't happen. You can't do that very often, though, can you?
Well, not on the same show.
No.
But a lot of shows have sort of done that sleight of hand lately,
I guess. Surprised me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because the press that went along with what I know.
Well,
they
played it very well.
They played it perfectly.
And they played it very well as in resolving.
Yeah.
Within the same.
I know how cryptic this sounds if you don't watch
the
show.
Within the same season.
But when you
as opposed to making you wait a year.
When you watch as much TV as we've all watched over the years, you go, I've kind of seen everything. I know. I understand what they're doing. And then they fooled a lot of people, myself included.
Right.
Yeah. In a good way or a bad way?
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of those surprises, Mr. Robot was another show that was on USA Network last summer that became a huge hit.
Yeah.
And that had a twist that is another one of those, you can't say it, you know, even 5 years on probably, because it just changes the whole... You know, but once people found out, I think they went back and watched every episode over again to see if they could find the clues.
Oh, good.
And that also is coming back this summer with the second season that everybody's like, well, how can they do the second season after what happened in the first?
Mr. Robot.
I feel it's going to be even better.
All right, good. That's Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com. That's the website. I think you'll enjoy it. Thank you, Kurt. Have a great weekend. We'll take a quick break. Kim with the news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
This way roses are red, my love. Violets are blue.
Ooh, ooh. Good old Bobby Vinton.
You like
the
Bobby Vinton?
Yeah.
Sure, some vintage Vinton.
Yes, I love it. Stacey Hervella is on the line with us. She's the horticulturist for Proven Winners, and you can go to provenwinners.com. How are you, Stacey?
I'm doing great. It's a big gardening weekend. How are you guys?
I am doing great. I cannot wait to plant my tomatoes. However, I need to purchase them first. I just realized that.
Sure,
you
have to do it in that order.
I have to go do that this weekend. It's warm. It's very rainy today, which is good for all the fresh sod if people have planted sod. Because trust me, if you don't water it every single solitary day, it is going to die. You are from provenwinners.com, and I go there. I find a lot of information on provenwinners.com, but and you can find a lot of information online, but you have to be careful, just like WebMD, all these medical things. You got to be careful about self-plant diagnosis.
Some erroneous information floating around the internet, is there? Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. Well, you know, Pinterest, like, I love Pinterest. It's such
Me too.
Fun website. But I'll tell you, when it comes to gardening information, Pinterest is probably one of the last places you should be looking because, you know, there's a lot of things that appeal to people but don't actually work in reality. And, you know, we're all about making sure that people are successful with what they do in their garden. So I have a little tip to share. When you're looking for information about caring for plants or identifying plants online, go to Google or whatever search engine you use, type in your search term. So you would say like Chicago tomato planting, and then type this in, site, S-I-T-E, and then a colon, the two dots, and then .edu. And what that does is that limits all of your results to university websites. So you'll be getting all information from the University of Illinois Extension, which you can rely on. You know, it's been tested by the Horticulture Department at your state land grant university. So that makes sure it just sort of weeds out all of that stuff that you can't rely on and will get you information that you know you can trust.
Weeds out. I get it, Stacey. Nicely played.
Of course. There's always
sure.
way more horticulture puns where that came yep. from.
All right. That is a great idea. So you, at the end of whatever your the term is you're searching, you know, like early girl tomatoes, then you put... colon.
Site,
oh, you do write the site.
Yes, you have to write site, S-I-T-E, and then colon dot E-D-U.
All right, I am going to do that. I am look. There's a woman who is in a neighboring town who plants her own stuff, little seedlings in the fall, and then she has plant sales in her garage.
Oh,
and I
nice.
Kind of like to go to these.
Yeah.
And there was some beautiful plants already planted in her garden that she wasn't selling. And I said, could you please tell me what those are? And she didn't remember. So she found out and actually called me back. And it's a, is it Blumera? Is that a type of?
Brunnera? Oh, yeah, Brunnera.
Brunnera, yep. yes.
Mm-hmm.
Does that look like a forget-me-not kind of?
It does. It looks very much like a forget-me-not. But one of the advantages that Brunnera has over a forget-me-not is that the foliage sticks around. So like a true forget-me-not, it will just sort of grow in spring and then kind of die back to the ground, especially if it gets hot and it won't be there anymore. Whereas Brunnera is a perennial, so it has really nice silvery foliage that sticks around all season. So you have something to look at, even when it's not flowering.
There are these unbelievable, beautiful little blue flowers. Now, do they blow all over the place and, you know, make little colonies everywhere? Because I think my neighbor has a bunch on her front yard as well as her garden beds.
The Brunnera is not super spreading itself around, but true forget-me-not will definitely spread itself around every which way.
All right.
Wendy just showed me a picture of it, Stacey, and you know what it looks like to me is whenever I go in to buy flowers to my wife, like if I'm apologizing, so that's a couple times a week, when you get the big flowers, they'll put flowers like this in as kind of like filler almost. You know
yep.
what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you have, you know, forget-me-not growing self-sowing in your yard or your neighbor's yard, you know, you can cut it. It will stay for a cut flower for a few days, and then you help prevent more seed from spreading. I know that's the kind of thing. It's really hard when you're trying to identify a plant and you don't know. I wanted to mention that there's also a lot of Facebook groups that are geared towards plant identification, or you can go to our Facebook page anytime and post a photo of something. You're just wondering what the heck it is, and I am always try to get back to people as soon as I'm back in the office. Don't really get back to people too quick on the weekend. But if you post a photo on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/PWColorChoice, I'll get you an answer. I love a good plant identification mystery.
Good, because you know what? You're the only one to answer it. There are so many times I walk around and look in the neighbor's gardens and go, wow, that's really beautiful, and
right.
I don't even know how you go by identifying it.
Yeah, it can be hard. You know, it's really intimidating, and you know, a lot of times, even if you have the chance to speak to the homeowner, they're like, oh, I don't know, that was here when I moved in, or I planted that a few years ago and I lost the tag and I have no idea. So, you know, just being able to talk to the person who lives there isn't always a surefire way to find out either. And, you know, really walking around your neighborhood is such a great way to find out what does well. you know, in your area so that you can be assured of success. So, you know, don't hesitate to rely on us or one of those other Facebook plan identification groups if you've got those kind of questions.
I bet that would be the highest compliment you could ever be paid, Wendy, is if somebody was walking by your house and they saw something in your garden and said, "What is that? I want to do that." That's high praise, isn't it? You would
it
love
is.
That. Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet.
Stacy, if you're ever sick and you need someone to fill in with that flower identification, I would love to fill in. Because I would just, no matter what picture they sent me, I'd go, those are jonquils, no matter what it was.
We can also make up fun names, you know, right. And there's always that opportunity as
those
well.
Those are Dipsy Doodles. You know what those are. I've seen those a million times. Sure.
Grandma grew Dipsy Doodles.
We are talking to Stacy Hervella. She's the horticulturist for Proven Winners, a great plant brand. You can find them at your favorite garden centers. I have to tell you, I was driving through a garden center parking lot to get somewhere else, and my husband said, don't ever do that again on a busy Saturday, because they get really busy this time of year as people are picking out their plants, annuals and perennials and veggies to plant this weekend. So if you find an off hour, they'll answer your questions, won't they?
They will. And, you know, they are also a really good resource for local information. But, yeah, you know, if you go on a, you know, Saturday in May or early June, they're probably going to be really frantic. And, you know, you might not be able, they don't be able to spend the time answering your questions. So, you know, in that case, I would say try to go on a weeknight after work. A lot of garden centers are open later. Or especially once things slow down, like after mid-June and through the summer, if you have any questions, you know, a garden center employee would be a lot more available to help you and spend the time, you know, that you need to get your issues addressed.
We are going to take phone calls. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. Stacy, we're going to take a quick break. Stacy Hervella, horticulturist for Proven Winners. Go to their website. Really, there's some great literature, some great ideas for flower beds and various areas to plant. Because, you know, is it a sunny area? Is it a shady area? Go to provenwinners.com. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. I tried out that crazy little tip that Stacy Hervella gave us when you have to be careful of what's on the internet. I'm looking up the purple snake root that I just showed you a picture of, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
It creates this amazingly white frond that sticks up, and it smells like sweet plumeria like you're in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the purple snake root, and then I made a space and put site. colon.edu and Cornell University popped up, Stacy, so I know I can trust my information that I get there.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome tip.
I use it a lot.
We have some questions. A lot of people will be planting their vegetables. Got to be honest with you, Mother's Day is a good time where people plant things. It was not warm enough. We've had some frost.
Right.
It's been really cold. It looks like we're going to have a really hot summer, according to Tom Skilling. So veggies can go in the ground this weekend. Nancy, did you have a question for Stacy Hervella?
I do. I live just west of the city, and I have a little herb garden in the back, and I'm not, you know, a great gardener or anything, but, you know, they do fine, except cilantro. Whenever I plant it, it's fine for just a little while, and then it's just, I don't know, gets all leggy. And
yeah. Me too. And
that's the end of it.
No success with it at all.
Well, I absolutely love talking to people about cilantro, because here's the thing about cilantro. Grocery stores have set us up with unreasonable expectations about what to expect from cilantro, but you can grow it. What you need to understand is that cilantro has a very, very short life cycle. So it goes from the seed that you plant to flowering and setting seed very quickly, sometimes in as few as 20 days. So what you need to do is to plant cilantro often. It's not going to be like basil where you can plant it once in the early, you know, in the mid-spring and harvest off it clear up until frost. With cilantro, you need to have a supply of seed and put like 5 seeds in the ground every week, every 10 days, every 2 weeks, depending on how much you use. And then that way you'll always have a nice fresh crop of clean leaves. You cut those off. Let the plant go, do its thing, and you'll have a new crop to replace it. So it's not anything that you are doing. It really is just the nature of the plant.
Nancy, did you have any idea you had to keep replanting it? Didn't you think it was just going to be like chives where you could just harvest it all summer long?
I really did think that. And then I thought, well, maybe if I keep pruning it back, and I kept cutting it.
Me too.
It just died.
That Yep. It's, you know, like I said, the grocery store sets people up for an unrealistic expectation. But the simple fact is, if you plant it, you know, weekly, every 10 days, every 2 weeks, depending on how much your family needs, that will keep you in a constant supply of nice, fresh leaves.
And you can just dig a hole and keep planting where the plant already is?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, just, you know, dig it out or, you know, plant it in another spot, you know, if you're still harvesting off the other one. You know, the hotter it is, the faster cilantro is going to go through that life cycle. But, you know, it, no matter what, even under the best conditions, it's going to be a fast life cycle.
And you recommend seeds because, Nancy, I don't know about you, but I got like a big plant of cilantro at the garden center, and you plant that. What happens then, Stacy? Do you buy seeds in addition?
Yeah, I always recommend starting from seed instead of starting from a plant in the case of cilantro. If you already have it, here's what you can do. Let it go to flower, and then it's going to set seed, and then you can actually let those seeds dry out on the plant and plant them yourself. So it's kind of like growing your own seed supply.
And it'll keep coming throughout the season.
Well, the plant will die. Like I said, it's once those seeds have ripened, the plant's going to die no matter what. But then you can take those seeds, use them to plant it, and basically keep the cycle going, and then let those plants set seed and so on.
Interesting. Thank you, Nance.
Thank you. Bye.
Happy planting. And Gary has a question for you, too. She's Stacy Hervella, horticulturist. I said that wrong. Don't take offense. Horticulturist for Proven Winners at provenwinners.com. Gary, Stacy.
Hey, Gary, what's going on?
I was wondering about castor beans. You know anything about those? I used to grow castor bean plants. You can't buy them in the nurseries, but I used to plant the seeds.
Mm-hmm. What's a castor bean?
That's what castor oil comes from, right?
They get 10, 12 feet tall sometimes. And I had people ring my doorbell saying, what kind of plant is that up? You know, I had them in front, my front yard and all over. But they're tropical plants. They're huge.
Yeah.
And I know they're poisonous. The seeds are.
They are extremely toxic. But, yeah, you know, it is a very unique plant, very showy, and a lot of fun to grow. It's one of those things that, not unlike cilantro, you're going to need to start from seed. Not a lot of garden centers are going to start
That's what I did. I started from seed in February.
Oh, that's a little too early, I think. You know, it's such a fast-growing plant.
Oh, yeah. It's like a bean. It's a bean, so.
Yeah. I would recommend actually just direct sowing the seed as soon as it gets warm. So, like, you probably could have started the seed in the ground, you know, in some nice, rich soil. Last week, maybe even the week before, keep it watered, and that will really get you off to a better start and a healthier plant. So, I would do that.
It's a looks like a tropical plant when you've
got them. It is a tropical plant, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I was wondering if they still had them around, but they're not.
Definitely.
I don't see them in the seed kale. I see even more the seeds.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people are really aware of the toxic aspect. But, you know, they are around, and I see them here in Grand Haven at a lot of houses just as an ornamental. So they're definitely still out there. You might just have to look a little harder.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks,
Gary.
Stacy, what do they do to it? Because when they convert that into castor oil, that's obviously not poisonous. What are they doing to it to make it non-poisonous?
You know, I don't actually know very much about how they process it if they do the seed. I know, like, if they just press the oil out of the seed, and then that may not be toxic, but I know if you eat the actual seed or if it's dried and powdered, it is
it'll knock you out. Yeah.
It will kill you.
Yeah.
It'll just knock you out. So.
Right.
What I've really noticed right now is the favorite part of my summer garden, actually spring garden, is when I'm a big fan of the allium. They look just like a big purple globe on one single stalk.
Yeah.
Looks like they should be on Mars or something. I have various varieties of those, and then ornamental onions, which also come up in a little globe like that. These are poisonous to dogs, aren't they?
You know, I don't know offhand. This would be another great opportunity for using that .edu command. That way, you know, you're limiting yourself to veterinary programs at schools. I don't know. I don't have a dog. Of course, you know, it's always a good idea to not let your dog, you know, chew on anything in the garden. You know, just to be on the safe side, because you never know, even if it's something that you can eat, because the alliums and the ornamental onions are true onions. I mean, they're very closely related to the regular
onions. And onions are bad for dogs, so I guess I know.
So, yeah, I would keep the dog away,
They're really pretty, though. Can I eat those onions? Like the
The ornamental ones, you can. I wouldn't really recommend eating an allium, like one of those ornamental alliums. But the other ones you can, yeah.
Because the chives, I notice sometimes they come back every year, which is just amazing to me that, like, all of a sudden the snow ends and your giant
there
little chive bush is there, whatever it is. It's not really a bush. Mm-hmm. And those also come to a head with purple flowers as well. Is just that part of the onion family?
But it is part of the onion family, and I'll tell you, I'll give you another little bonus tip on chives. After they flower, a lot of times the plants get kind of sparse. So after the plant flowers, finishes flowering, just whack it back to the ground. Just cut it, you know, grab it into like a ponytail and cut it right off. And it will put out a whole new flush of growth, and that way you will be able to continue to harvest fresh chives clear up until frost.
See, common sense tells you not to cut off all those chives, but you're saying do it because then it's going to produce more.
Right, because what happens after it flowers is that it gets kind of woody, and it just doesn't put out a lot of foliage anymore. So you will have like a little dip there where you're not going to be able to harvest any chives for maybe about 2 weeks. But it's more than worth it because I'll tell you, if you have more than one chive plant, try it with both of them. You won't believe the difference.
You are amazing, and you make my life happy, Stacy, because really in the summer in Chicago, all I have to do is garden, and I can't wait to do it this weekend.
I'm with you on that. I can hardly wait to get home myself.
Thank you so much, Stacy Hervella. She is horticulturist for Proven Winners, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Bye,
Stacy.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Kim with the news, and then we'll talk cars a little bit with our friend Tom Appel. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's a momentous occasion to get a new vehicle, I'll tell you that. And you know how I know I made the right choice,
Bill? How do you know this?
For days, I really have been looking up and, like, if I'm walking down Michigan Avenue, I look at every single vehicle to go, oh, do I like the look of that?
Yeah.
I just ran outside today, and I did not look at any other car.
Is that right?
So I made up my mind. I got a Toyota Highlander.
Yeah.
I love it. And Tom Appel is on the line with us, Consumer Guide Automotive Publisher and Editor for Consumer Guide Daily Drive, CG Daily Drive. And, Tom, I talked to you yesterday, right? Because I was trying to determine what kind of car to buy.
Tom's your like your consigliere. Like, if you have a question, Tom is there. He's your go-to.
I honestly looked everywhere and checked specs and just, you got to go with what you need, what you want. I couldn't see myself in a minivan. And then I came in and I was all excited to tell Bill I bought a car. And I said, but I leased it. And he goes, oh.
I was disappointed.
You leased
Tom.
It?
I was disappointed.
Leasing is not such a bad deal anymore. I've never leased a car. This is my first lease.
Mm-hmm.
Should I feel guilty about it?
No. And this is in Illinois. Lots of people are leasing for the first time this year.
Because they changed the rule on the...
Yeah.
It used to be... Yeah, you would have to pay the full tax if you were leasing, and they altered that at the end of the year, right?
Yeah, if you negotiated the price of your car down to $35,000, you pay tax on the full $35,000 whether you leased it or purchased it. And the new law is that the tax on leases now is just on the total amount of your down payment and your payments, which can cut your lease price, you know, by 40, 50, 60%.
That is a huge savings.
The tax rate. I'm sorry, not the lease price.
Right.
Okay. And here's the thing. It's probably a little too expensive for me to purchase. Just the payments were phenomenal to do a long purchase.
Right.
So we looked at the leasing for 3 years. You have an option to buy at the end of it. If you love the car, you can. What my husband was saying is, we have purchased all of our cars, and it is nice to have this little free grace period where you don't have any car payments, but then that car is not running well where we don't trust it to take on long road trips. So there's something to be said for getting a vehicle you trust every 3 years. The only thing is it's like you're paying a rental car company to rent a car for the rest of your life.
No, you're exactly right. And I think one of the cool things about a lease, if you go that route, is that you have the warranty for that full period of time, too. So you never have a vehicle that's out of warranty, and you have a vehicle that's new, so it probably doesn't need much warranty. So you're in a pretty good shape. The only really dramatic downside to a lease is it's expensive to break. You sort of have to promise to keep that for 2 or 3 years. And secondarily, you have nothing at the end. So you do have this period of time, 3 months before your lease ends, where you have to do something. And you have to do it relatively quickly.
So either purchase that car, trade it in for a new one to lease,
right,
or buy a new car.
Right.
Right.
And Tom, there's an additional thing on the downside, and that is this. Wendy wants to use the car to drive to Nashville with the family and then occasional family trips to Peoria. But if you're getting 12,000 miles a year, that's 1,000 miles a month, obviously, you use up a lot of those miles on trips like that.
Yeah, you can rack them up pretty quickly, and that's something that people have to be aware of. Depending on the terms of the lease, extra miles are 20 to 25 cents penalty when you go over for the total amount of your lease. So that can
be
get
a lot.
Expensive. That can be a lot of money.
Yeah.
But we also have two cars, and if we're getting close to that 12,000 mark, we'll say, you know, we're not.
Right, we're walking to Nashville.
No, but we take two road trips a year, maybe three.
Right, but even at two or three, I don't know the exact mileage between here and Nashville.
Like
about
8 million yeah.
miles, roughly. So if you take two
roughly.
Or three trips there a year.
We go once.
Oh, okay. Well, once
and then
isn't
Peoria.
Bad. Yeah.
That's what I mean. And the other thing is when we traded in our old Jeep, it was literally smoking when we drove it in to trade it in. And luckily, we had worked out a little bit of an arrangement before. You know, we just gave the year. We said it had some rust, blah, blah, blah. And so they gave us a quote. And then
Miss Snyder, your car's on fire.
Well, it cooled down
forgot
eventually.
To mention that.
But so you say you have nothing to turn in at the end of a lease where you do as the, at the end of a purchase. But, I mean, really, it was worth $1,200 for us. So
yeah,
is it really... Do you really have that much after the end of the terms of a purchase and the depreciation?
Not in this case, no. Yeah, and depreciation's a killer, too. And the thing about a lease, too, is you know what the depreciation rate is. You're paying that. That's built in. So there's no surprises.
Would it almost have been better for Wendy to donate the car and get the tax break on it that way?
Only if they really like smoking cars.
Oh, right.
If your tax bracket is 25%, then you're getting 25% of the value of that vehicle.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Essentially as a tax break. So it's almost always better to try to sell it outright. But I know a lot of people that are really lazy. I work with most of them who just donate their cars.
But if you're selling the car to a smoker, they would want a smoking car. You have something in common with
you
your
don't
auto.
Want your car smoking exactly. more than you
no,
do.
No, all right.
Okay?
I get that. Explain this to us, Tom, because I said to Wendy, I knew she was going in, and I said, leave yourself way more extra time there at the dealership. She knew she was going to buy the car, but I said, leave yourself a lot of extra time. And how long did it take you to get the car?
All right, this was a rare instance where they only had one finance guy. We went in at 6:15.
Yep.
And we got out of there at 12:17 at night.
So six plus hours.
Yeah.
Why does it? I mean, in this case, it's because there was only one guy in the finance office.
There
but
were
most dealerships only have one or two people in their finance office.
They had three offices. There was one guy, and I'm telling you, everyone came in, and we got there at 6:15. But we were looking around, we were figuring out exactly what we wanted, and
yeah.
negotiating a little bit, and then other people were coming in. And here's the thing that's so sad: if you work at a car dealership, they close their doors at 9 o'clock, but if somebody comes in at 8:35 and wants to buy a car,
right,
they're not going to lose that sale. So everybody was coming in and buying a car last night.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I've actually done that with a friend where we went to go buy his car at about 8:50.
Nice.
Oh my God,
I bet they love that.
Well, it cuts through the negotiating period pretty quickly.
Sure it does. Actually, that's a good tactic, isn't it?
It's kind of a good tactic. Yeah,
yeah.
Although not for us, because we were there till 12:17 in the morning.
Yeah, that's
too late.
I couldn't even believe it.
Tom, the last two that we've bought, I said to my wife, and this is true, we got in and out when we bought our house in less time than when we bought our cars. That shouldn't be.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's almost as much paperwork now.
There is.
Buying the car. Yeah, there's so many things that they have to have you sign. There's all these legal documents they have to have you sign. And then additionally, when you go into to see the F&I guy, they often try to sell you stuff, too, and that takes time.
Right. Little additional add-ons, you know, here's your warranty, but if you want to extend it a little bit, you can buy this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's gap insurance. If you total the car and then your insurance company doesn't give you enough, then you're out that money.
Yeah.
So that is something you think about. And then there's other insurance. It is a big decision.
Yeah.
But with leasing, you can probably get a better car than you would be able to afford if you purchased it. Wouldn't you agree to that, Tom?
Yeah, no, you absolutely can. I just did some, you know, when I found out we were talking about leasing today, I just did some checking. And one of the companies that's famous for leasing is BMW, for example. And right now they have a lease on a very base 3 Series, that's their compact sedan, where the payments are, and there's all sorts of asterisks on this, but the payments are $320 a month. If you were trying to buy that car in 3 years, your payments are almost $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
So So it's just dramatically less cash up front. So, yeah, it's something you can absolutely do with less cash.
Tom, have you ever seen this tactic? I've seen this more than once now. When you've bought the car and they're trying to sell you on the extended warranty and you tell them, no, I don't need it right now. And they go, oh, I can understand that. Let me show you something. And then they reach in their drawer and they show you a picture of a similar car to yours. And they go, this was a guy. I had this guy in a year ago. He didn't buy the extended warranty. 2 days after his warranty, he got hit by a bus and it cost him $6 million to have his car fixed. But that's fine. You don't need it if you don't want it. It's like a little bit of a scare tactic. You've seen that, right?
Close to that. I'm saying close to that.
Yeah.
One of the things they want to do, too, with the extended warranty is if you buy it while you're in the office, they can roll it into your loan. So it's the easiest time to sell it to you. Because it's like, we can do this warranty, and it only adds $10 a month, something like that.
Yeah.
So it seems like a very small additional purchase. And you're just getting over the fact that you just spent $40,000. So what's $10 a month? So it's a great time to hit somebody up with something like that.
How do places that are not your original car dealership, because my warranty is going to end in a couple of months, but I keep getting calls from other places that are not my dealership saying, hey, we know that your warranty's coming up. Here's an offer for you. How do they have that information?
That's a great question. Because I get those calls all the time on my wife's car.
Yeah.
Yes, someone got the information. But I think that the date of purchase of your vehicle is public record, and they can get that from the Secretary of State.
Because they're always very gray. Because I always say, I won't say the name of my dealership, but I go, is this the guy? Are you the guys over it? And they go, they're very noncommittal about that. Yeah, it's not important. What we're saying is your warranty's about to expire, you know?
But there are home warranties that you can get that cover your home. So why isn't there an auto warranty that covers your car regardless of where you purchased it?
Well, Tom, go ahead. But
there is.
Anyone can sell you one. Yeah, but yes. I just don't know how they know all that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, there's companies that can, anyone can sell you a car warranty. And
right.
Then the problem with car warranties that you purchase that aren't backed by your original manufacturer,
yeah,
is that you may be limited as to where you can get them fulfilled.
Oh.
Some dealerships might try to sell you a warranty that isn't from the factory, isn't from the manufacturer of the vehicle, and you may have to come back to that dealership all the time to have that work done. So your best bet always, in my opinion, is to go back to an original manufacturer warranty if you want to go with an extended warranty.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, and real quickly, we have a phone call from Dave. Are you a lesser, a leaser, a buyer? What are you?
I'm a lesser. In fact, I leased a car yesterday, I just wanted to point out that if you negotiate the mileage ahead of time, so I negotiated 17,000 miles a year into my lease, and it's a whole lot cheaper to do that in the front end of the lease than it is to pay the penalty at the end.
And that makes your lease payment go up just a little bit paying the penalty for going over accidentally.
Absolutely. So what the dealer or the leasing company is trying to do is just figure out what the car is going to be worth at the end. And so, obviously, if you have more mileage on it, it's going to be worth a little bit less, so you'll pay for that. So that's the way it works.
Well, thank you. Happy travels. What'd you get?
I work for a lot of car dealers, so I don't want to
point out
just one that I...
All right, enjoy.
No, I got a Chevrolet Malibu.
I love those.
Those
they
are
have
nice.
Come a
beautiful.
Long way.
Yeah.
Have your fun in it, okay? Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Dave the Lesser. I think he's one of the apostles, isn't he?
That was James.
James the Lesser.
And James the Greater.
Right.
And so, Tom, there is a price that they put down that how much the car will be worth after the 3 years of leasing, and we can choose to buy it at that point. And is that ever a good idea to purchase that car?
For the residual value? Yeah, if you really like the car, and if that price makes sense to you, what happens in the case of a lot of vehicles, especially luxury vehicles, that residual value can be subvented, and it's a form of incentivizing the vehicle. So if the vehicle should be worth $22,000 at the end of the lease, a manufacturer might say that's $23,000 or $24,000, and that's a way to put effectively a rebate or some sort of incentive on the vehicle, and that lowers the price. That price may not be ideal then, because that would be slightly inflated at the end of the purchase. So you might kind of want to follow that through the process. If you don't buy that car at that rate, you might want to see if the dealer keeps it and puts it on sale and then just buy it as a used car.
Tom,
great advice.
It's solid advice. I know this is a question you're probably asked constantly, but I need to know because I can't figure it out. Why can you still not buy a car on a Sunday?
That's a great
Isn't that crazy? That should be one of their busiest days.
They used to be able to.
Yeah.
And because my husband owned, his family owned a Chevy dealer, McInerney Chevrolet, and they used to be open on Sundays.
Not anymore.
And there were various dealers that wanted to work on Sundays. And from my understanding, there were other dealers that didn't want to work on Sundays. And rumor has it that there was some kind of damage done to cars in the lots, and you're really? Going to stay open on Sunday when we're not going to stay open on Sunday? I don't think so.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. I live in an area where there's a lot of very small, privately owned used car lots.
Yeah.
And I'm keenly aware that they're doing business on Sunday and probably just signing the paperwork on Monday.
Oh.
Is it a
state law or a federal law to not have a car dealership open on Sunday?
Oh, no, it's just Illinois and a few various states. It's not. I mean, you go somewhere else. Sunday's a great day to buy a car.
I would think it'd be the best day to buy a car.
I don't get it.
And that's why dealerships are so busy on Saturday, because that's when people are free.
Yep. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Tom, it's always fun to talk to you. Always very informative. A couple of websites. Consumer Guide Automotive's publisher, Tom Mattel. You want to go to cgdailydrive.com and then also consumerguide.com. You can read Tom's work there. Thank you, Tom. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
I love my new car.
Yep.
Can't wait to get
Doesn't that feel nice? All right, we'll take a quick break, a little bit more show, and then Ro and Anna will be on to tell you what they have. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, Ro and Anna will be in a minute. We have a few things to finalize before we get out of here. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait. I'm going to see the Zombies play at the Arcata Theater on Sunday night for Memorial Day weekend.
That should be fun.
Oshows.com. My son Michael's playing a gig early show tonight, 5 to 7, at Adele's in LaGrange. And our lovely producer Kevin and his band Fade has...
F-A-A-D-E.
Yes.
Two A's.
Yep.
You're playing tonight also.
Tonight at Quenchers at Fullerton and Western.
What will you be doing tonight?
Am I the only person on the planet not in a band?
Does I'm everybody just a roadie
else,
tonight.
Everybody else in the world has a band except me. I want to have a band, too.
You should call yourself the Hijangas.
The Hijangas.
Hijangas.
All the original members? I don't think any of the original members. Nope.
All right. Well, everyone should have a lovely Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take a quick break, and then I caught someone from the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantes. There's some hijinks going on. Can I explain?
Some behind-the-scenes hijinks?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, find out who in Ro's show's in trouble and why. That's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.